Arjun, my voice is clear?
It's kind of crackly.
Okay, wait. Hello. Hello.
Yes.
Okay,
What
we'll
now?
start. Okay, fine. So we'll start with the Namukar mantra. Arjun, you'll start the benediction. You'll say Namukar mantra, okay?
Okay.
Okay, start.
Namo Arihantanam, Namo Siddhanam, Namo Ayarianam, Namo Lowisthanam. Namo Urjayanam, Namo Loe
Very good, very good. So you learn it somehow. You go, completely learn it now. You have learned it. You know Namukar mantra completely now.
Yes.
Okay. Let me check. How many Parameshthis are
Five.
Five, and the names are?
Arihantanam,
Yes.
Siddhanam, I mean, Acharyas,
And
Upadhyayas,
yes. And
Sadhus.
sadhu. So Arhantadams are Parmeshthi or Arhantas are Parmeshthi?
They are.
Huh? Hello?
Could you repeat the question?
You're getting my voice clear,
What?
am I clear to you? Audible? Hello? I'm asking.
It's a little clear.
It's not clear?
No, it is.
Okay, fine. So my question is, it is Arihantadam Parmishti or Arihant Parmishti? Arihantas or Arihantadam? What is their actual name?
Arihant.
Arihant
Arihant is a
Parmeshthi? Okay, fine. So five Parmeshthis are Arihant Parmeshthi, Siddha Parmeshthi, Acharya Parmeshthi, Upadhyaya Parmeshthi, and Sadhu Parmeshthi. Very good. Today what we'll do, I'll tell you one story about Namukar Mantra. You like stories or not?
Yes, I do.
You know any stories in Jainism? Like, have you any stories in Jainism? Have you ever listened to one?
No, I have not, unfortunately.
Okay, it's okay. So first we'll just revise some little things, and I'll tell you one story about Tamokar Mantra, okay?
Okay.
Okay, so tell me the meaning of Namo Ayariyadam.
That phrase means I bow down to the Acharyas.
Oh wow, great. I bow down to Acharyas. Very good. Okay, now tell me if you go to temple, if you go to a temple, okay, the Jain temple, so whom do you bow down in the Jain temple? In front of whose idol do we say Namo Arihantadam Siddhadam, means Namokar mantra? Simply, whom do we see, which Parmeshthi do we see in Jain temple?
We don't see the Siddhas.
We don't see the Siddhas. We see
Yeah,
or
we
we
don't
don't
see the
see?
Siddhas.
We don't see the Siddhas because they don't have?
A body.
Yeah, very good. But they don't have body. Then my question is, when you go to any of the temple, you see some idols, right? Bhagwans sits there, right? In the
Yes.
temple, you see lords, Bhagwans, right?
Yes.
Which Bhagwan are they? They are Acharyas, Upadhyayas, Sadhus, Siddhas, or Arhantas. What are they? You got my question?
Yeah, I did. Is it
Yeah.
Siddhas?
We see Siddhas. We can't see them, right?
We can.
We see?
Acharyas.
We see Acharyas. You take your time, think. Whom do we see, Arhantas or Acharyas?
Arihants.
Any reason why are you going for Arihant and not Acharyas?
Actually, I think it's Acharyas because they're on their way to complete happiness, and Acharyas and Siddhas already have full happiness.
So in the temple we see the idols of Acharyas and not Arihantas.
Okay.
Yes or no? Yes or no?
Yes.
Do you see Acharyas? Arjun, if you see the material given to us, it has some pictures of Arihantas, Siddhas, Acharyas, Upadhyayas and Sadhus. So, you see in Arihantas, it looks like idol what we see in temple, right?
Yes.
So, whom do we see in the temple?
Arihants.
Okay. We in the temple bow down to Arihantas because they have attained complete happiness, right? See, our aim is to attain happiness, right? So, we preach those who have attained, not those who are on the path of liberation. Those who have attained complete happiness. Okay? I mean, to be very frank, if you want to be a soccer player, you don't see the very next friend of you who is very good in football, in soccer. But he's not a player. You don't make him the target, right? Like, you have to be like a friend because he plays very brilliantly. No. You see Messi, you see Ronaldinho or other players which have already become the great players, right?
Yeah.
Why don't you see a friend as idol to be a soccer player? Because he is on the way, right? But he is not become. So you cannot make him idol for just to be a great player that you should, yes, I have to be like my friend. No, you never say that. You say, I have to be like my like Messi or whatever they are, right?
Right.
Same way we go for those who have attained happiness. Arihantas have attained happiness, but Acharyas don't. They don't have attained happiness. So we, in the temple, take the idols of Arihantas. Siddhas have no body, so it is not possible to make their idols. But still, there are some temples where we find the idols of Siddhas too. But the Arihantas are a dev. There are two devs, right? Arihantas and Siddhas. So devs are residing in the temple. So they reside in the temple. And when we go to temple, we go down to Arihantas. And in front of them, we recite this Namukar mantra. Okay, am I clear?
Yes. You are
so the next time if you're going to temple, you're going to observe whom's idol? Siddhas or Acharyas or Arihantas? Arihantas. Very good. Do observe the idol whenever you go next time to the temple, no? Just do one thing. Just observe what you see in the idol of Arihanta Parameshti. Because there are many interesting things what Parameshti's body has. Okay?
Okay,
so now you'll tell me what do Arihantas do? Basically, why are we learning this Namukar mantra? Basic, if you can tell me, please. Why are we learning this Namukar mantra?
We are learning this that we can get, we can be on our way to complete happiness and finally get there.
Okay, why? So how will Namukar mantra help us?
Because
huh? Any guess, any idea why, how Ramakar Mantra will help us? We did it in the first or second session.
Well, because we want to learn from them how they got to complete happiness.
Yes, but why we have to bow down to five Parmeshtis to get ourselves on the way of happiness? Why are we going to punch Parmeshtis?
Because two of them have achieved full happiness?
Yes, they have achieved happiness, and that's why we go to them. Those who have achieved happiness, they're going to them. I mean, those teachers who know something about mathematics, you go to them to learn maths, right? You don't go to a history teacher to teach you mathematics, right?
No.
Okay, now, when you have to learn mathematics, you don't go to history or geography teacher. You go to a mathematics teacher, right? Same way, if you want to get something like happiness, you have to go to those who have happiness, who know something about happiness, who have attained happiness. It's clear, right? It's very logical. I mean, those who have it, we go to them. Those who have maths knowledge, we go for mathematics to them. Those who have happiness, we are going for happiness to them. Right?
Yes.
So we are reciting Namokar Mantra because we want to attain happiness. And why we are reciting Namokar Mantra? Because Namokar Mantra boils down to five Parmeshtis who have attained happiness. And that's why we are going to them and we are bowing down to them because they have attained the happiness. Right? Okay, it's very clear. Clear? You have any doubt in this? Any doubt in this? You have any doubt? Hello?
Yes.
You have any doubt in this?
No.
Okay, fine. Any other question you have about anything in Namokar Mantra?
No.
No questions, right? Okay, very good. Okay, I'll start with story and we'll revise simultaneously with the story, okay?
Okay.
Okay. See, there was a king. Long time ago, there was a king. And the king's name was Shubham. What was his name? Shubham. Yeah, Shubham. S-U-B-H-A-U-M. Shubham. Okay? And he is known as Chakravarti. Chakravarti. You know what Chakravartis are? Chakravartis are the king of all the human beings. I mean, if there is a Chakravarti, so he is the king of India, he is the king of US, he is the king of England, every place. So the Chakravarti is a man who is the king, universal king. You got me? Who is Chakravarti?
Chakravarti?
Yeah, Chakravarti is a universal king of human beings. Okay? So, if you are a Chakravarti, you are the king of Indians, you are the king for Americans, you are the king for English, for everybody you are a king, okay? So, Shubham was a Chakravarti, the king of all human beings, right?
Yes.
Okay, so Shubham Chakravarti was there long time ago, okay? So, as he was a king, he had very huge, his kingdom, very huge kingdom, all the world was his. Very own, and he was very rich. He has to be. He is the king of the world, obviously, right? So he was very rich. Now, what do they have in their food, the Chakravartis? They have many, many, many things in their food, the daily food. And it is made by the preparation for today's meal. Like, if I have to get today's lunch. So it's preparation for today's. The lunch for 23rd or 22nd October, the preparation for it will start a year ago. I mean, they make lunch for a year. That's how they prepare the lunch for Chakravartis. I mean, you can understand how great their food has to be. Okay? So, the Chakravarti's name was what? Arjun, what was the Chakravarti's name?
Shubham?
Yeah, Shubham. Okay, so Shubham Chakravarti had a menu for today. He's sitting on his dining table and he has lunch, he has to get some lunch, okay? So the chef in his kitchen, they prepared kheer. Kheer is an Indian sweet dish made with milk and some rice thing. Have you ever ate something like kheer? Kheer?
No.
Have you ever heard about kheer? Okay, it's an Indian sweet dish. Okay? It's made with milk and some rice and all those things. Okay? So, today for his meal, there was kheer prepared by a chef. Okay? Chef brought that kheer to his table and told him to eat. Now, Shubham Chakravarti, the king, was very, very, very hungry. So, the moment the kheer was put on his table, he started eating the kheer. Now, the kheer was made on that time only, so it was very hot. The kheer, obviously, if you are having food, you have to first look out for is it hot or not. So, the kheer was too hot to eat. And Chakravarti, what did Chakravarti do? He ate the kheer without any movement, waiting for any movement. He started, the moment the kheer came on his table, he started eating the kheer. Obviously, his tongue got severely damaged due to the hotness of the kheer. Okay? So, he was the king, right? So, he had very much arrogance and he had great anger. So, he just boiled up like anything and he put that all that kheer and put it on the chef's head. All the hot kheer he spilled over the chef's head. You getting me what's happening?
Yes.
What happened right now? He's sitting on his table and then did what?
Shubham got really mad.
Yeah, Shubham Chakravarti.
The Chakravarti got really mad at the chef because he made the food the moment the king got there, so it was really warm. And then he poured all the remaining kheer on the chef's head.
Yeah, okay. So whose mistake was that to eat the hot kheer? Chef's mistake was that or Chakravarti's mistake was that?
It was the chef's fault.
Whose mistake was that? To eat the kheer, the hot kheer.
Oh, the Chakravarti.
Why?
Because, well, I think, well...
Yes, say. We both are just talking, okay? We are just discussing, so you have to say anything that comes into your mind, okay? Just be frank, say. Yeah, it is Chakravarti's mistake because...
Because, he didn't test if it was cold or hot, and he probably thought that it was...
Yeah, he deliberately started eating without noticing the kheer is hot. So, without any checking or without doing anything, he started... and put the kheer on his mouth. Okay, so it's completely Chakravarti's mistake. And who got suffered because of that mistake? Who suffered?
What? I didn't hear that.
Chakravarti's mistake was to eat the hot kheer, right? So who suffered for that mistake? Like Chakravarti's tongue got burned. But who suffered in the last? The chef, right? The Chakravarti poured whole kheer onto the head of the chef. And the kheer was that hot, the chef died on the moment, on that place only. The chef died due to the hotness and warmth of that kheer. Now, he was the king, okay? So, it's okay. He can kill anybody. So, he was the king and the things were cleaned and now the new meal prepared and eat then. Now, this man, the chef, he died, okay? After dying, he took birth as a celestial body. He became one of those, you have heard about these, all those horror stories like some spiritual things are there, like, do you believe in those spiritual things? Like there exist any kind of spiritual powers which can make you do any things? Horror movies, if you have seen ever. You see horror movies?
I don't, but I do play Halo, so.
Okay, so do you know anything about these special spiritual beings?
Yeah.
So do you believe they exist?
No.
No. Okay, see, there are four types of people. We'll learn it in the later session, but I'll give you just a small idea. See, you know you are a human being, right?
Yes.
Have you ever seen any animal around you? Like a cat, dog, or some birds
yes.
flying on the sky, okay? So these are what? These are human beings?
No.
No, so what are they? They're animals, right?
Yes.
Okay. Now the same way, we are human beings, the animals we can see, so they are living beings but not human beings. Okay. Now same way, there are those who do very bad things in life, like killing people and all those things. They go to Narak. Have you ever heard about hell? Hell, go to hell type things. So hell.
Yeah,
in the hell, there lives Narkis. Yeah, what?
There's 9 levels to hell.
Yeah. So, the Narak. In the Narak, in the hell, who resides? Narkis. Okay, Narkis lives in Narak. Narak is hell. Okay? And those who do some good deeds, they go to Swarg. Swarg is celestial being. Like, you go up. You have heard, why should we do good? Because we'll get some good things after we die. So there is another world up in the air. It is called Devgati. These are 4 gatis. The human beings, the animals, the narkis, and the devs. These are 4 forms of this mundane being. We are souls which are not happy, right? So the 4 forms of unhappy beings are these. They can either can be found as human beings or animals or narkis or devs. Okay? So now this chef, he died on the moment and he became celestial being. He became Vyantar Dev. What did he become?
Winter being?
Vyantar Dev. What did he become? Vyantar Dev. All those things you have heard about, these horror things, these Vyantars are the souls which disturb other people because they have their own nature to disturb others. We cannot see them. They are celestial being, okay? They are celestial. So they are Dev and they have some supernatural qualities. They have their own powers. They can hit, they can go invisible, they can do many things. So these are called Vyantar Dev. What do they call?
Vyantar
Dev. What is the name of Vyantar Dev? Okay. So this chef became what?
Vyantar Dev.
Vyantar Dev has very witty nature. They love to make people at trouble. They just love to make you irritated. They will do anything just to create some problems for you. If they have any issues with you. If they don't have any issues, they'll do nothing to you. Okay? So the chef was killed by the king, Shubham Chakravarti, and he became, in his next birth, what? Vyantar Dev, right? Now, the moment he became Vyantar Dev, he got to know how he died as a chef. And then he really got very angry on the king that how can he kill me for nothing? It was not my mistake, right? I made the meal for him. I made the tasty kheer for the king. And what did he do? He killed me. So the celestial being, the Vyantar Dev, the chef's soul, he got very angry the moment he got birth. And he tried to take the revenge from the king, right?
Yes.
Okay. Now he transforms he become a farmer, like gardener, the fruit seller, and he sells fruits. Okay? He has taken the part of a fruit seller. He looks like, he just made himself look like a fruit seller, and he came to sell the fruits in the city of the king. Okay? And the fruits in his bucket are very tasty, very supernatural, and very magical, and they really look very beautiful, attractive. And of course, they are irrelevant to the season of the fruit. Like, they were of all the seasons, all the different foods very tasty. So he started selling all the foods on his kingdom. And after selling and getting famous, he got into the kingdom, into the palace of the king. King heard a lot about his fruits and he was very impressed. So he called him on his palace and told him to make him taste some of his good fruits and all those things. So he came into the palace where all the king and his all the people were sitting and discussing things. Okay, so now he came and he made he offered king some of his best fruits. Now he was a celestial being, he was Yantradev, so he can make anything like tasty foods or tasty meal or anything like that. So he made supernatural and very magical and very tasty fruits and offered it to king, the Shubham Chakravarti. Shubham Chakravarti tasted that thing, the fruit, and he loved it too much because it was really, really very tasty. So he asked him that he wants more fruit. What is happening? You getting me?
Yes.
Okay, what has happened till now? What had he offered to the king and king has given his what reaction was of king after getting what?
So the reaction of the king after getting the fruit, he loved it so much because it was supernatural.
Yeah, but the king didn't know that they were supernatural. King was aware only that he was a simple fruit seller and he has his own gardens in far, far away place from where he has brought his all the fruits. King had no knowledge like, yeah, he is a celestial being or he is a Yantradev and all those things. King doesn't know anything about that, okay? Everybody in the kingdom knows that he is a simple fruit seller who has got very brilliant fruits from his very brilliant gardens. That's it. Okay? So he offered some of his fruits to king. King ate them and he became sick of the fruits because he loved them too much that he wants more to eat, more to eat. So he ordered the fruit seller that please get me more fruits. Now the fruit seller, as he was on his own mission to take the revenge, right?
Yeah.
He was on a mission to take the revenge. So he said, King Almighty, see, I don't have my gardens here, so I cannot give you more fruits. All the fruits I had, they all have ended till now. I have sold it out in your market. So if you really want some fruits, you can come with me to my gardens, and then we can... You can have as many as you want, and why don't you make your kingdom there only, and then you can have daily the greatest fruits on this earth, the tastiest of those. So the king glittered. I mean, he really loved them. I mean, he became kind of, he just got hypnotized to those fruits. I mean, addicted to those fruits. So he said, okay. He discussed with his pupil, his inner pupil, all his brilliant advisories and all those things. And he finally decided, okay, I'll come with you. And thus the fruit seller became a bit happy because his trick was working now. So they were on their way to where? Where are they going now?
To the fruit seller's place.
Fruit seller's garden, yeah. Fruit seller's garden. And they were very, very far, far away. And to get there, they have to cross an ocean, the big ocean, okay? So they are on a ship, and the king is there, and the fruit seller is there, and they all are going to the to the gardens after crossing the ocean. So they are on the oceans. Now they are going and going and going. The moment they reaches the middle of the ocean, the fruit seller comes into its original form, the celestial being, Yantradev. Okay? Now the king says, what the hell, how did you transform to this new body? So king was pretty shocked. Like, what has happened now? So that chef, I mean the Yantradev, the fruit seller, he now terrified the king by saying that, king, now it's time, it's my time now. And he started all the lightning and all those heavy rains and hurricane type, all the scenarios he made like hurricane, and the ship was like shaking and shaking right and down and down and right. So they were in the middle. The king was very, very, very shocked to see that, and he was very horrified that, oh, he might get into the sea, because the ship can any time sunk get sunk into the sea. So he was very, very, very thrilled, and he was very upset to see that Phoenician being around him. Okay? Now the king asked him, "Who are you? Why are you doing this to me?" So the Vyantar Dev, he became his old form, the form of chef, and told the king that, "See, you made me dead on that day when I prepared the tastiest kheer for you, and now I am here to kill you." So the king was very, very, very shocked and very, I mean, you can imagine somebody in the middle of an ocean just got a shock that the person who's taking him to his gardens is not what he is, a Vyantar Dev, and he can do anything to him. Now, here the concept trick. See, these Chakravartis, they all are the Jain beings. They all are Jain, okay? And Chakravartis are very powerful. That powerful that even the celestial beings, the Vyantar Devas, cannot do anything to them. What he can do is only just create the situations like you have to just make him dread and all those things, but they can't do anything to him. So now Vyantar Dev was thinking, why my tricks are not working? You getting, Arjun?
Yes.
What's happening? You're getting this, the scenario, I mean, the lots of thundering and all those things happening, and the king is really afraid now, and he's afraid of dying, he's afraid of the Vyantar Dev, and the Vyantar Dev is busy in creating trouble to him, and now he's trying his best to do anything. Now, the king, I mean, the state of king is very, 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 very bad, but the Vyantar Dev now realizes that he cannot actually kill him, because despite all his efforts, the ship is only shaking in the ocean only, but it's not getting sunk into the ocean. So now he thinks, and then he comes to know that Chakravartis are not easy to kill. I mean, you cannot kill the king of universal king of all the human beings like that. So now he again do another trick. What he do, if a Chakravarti or anybody, okay, now let me take you to this. What is Celestial, Vyantar Dev doing, Arjun? What is Vyantar Dev doing? He is taking the revenge, right?
Yeah.
To take revenge of his death. To take the revenge of his death, what is he doing? He's creating trouble and he wants to kill the king.
Okay.
What is the name of the king?
Shabam
Chakravarti. Now, then as he is a Chakravarti, you cannot kill him like anything. So now the Vyantar Dev now thinks of another trick. See, Ramokar Mantra, you know, it pays salutations to the five greatest souls, right? Arahantas, Siddhas, Acharyas, Upadhyas, and Sadhus, right? It pays salutations to these greatest souls, okay? Now, if you disrespect this great Ramokar Mantra, what are you doing? If you disrespect, what do you do? Actually, if you disrespect Ramokar Mantra, what are you doing indirectly?
You're making fun of the gods.
Yes, very, very good, very intelligent answer. You're making fun of the god, and you're disrespecting all the five Parameshthis, right?
Yes.
You are disrespecting Arihantas, who have shown you the way of liberation, who have given you Jinvani, the Divyadvani, right?
Yes.
Who are disrespecting Siddhas, who have attained the perfect bliss and who are on the topmost position of this world, right?
Yes.
You are disrespecting Acharyas, who give preachings, what do Acharyas do, actually, I'm asking you? I just forgot. What do Acharyas do? Arjun, what do Acharyas do?
They're the head of the monks.
And what do they do? Head of the monk. Okay, so what do? They
teach the sadhus, all the Jain sadhus?
They teach. Acharyas teach. So what do Upadhyayas do then?
Upadhyayas teach also?
Upadhyayas teach and sadhus teach. Acharyas and Upadhyayas, both of them teaches, okay? So, but what do Acharyas specifically do? What is his job?
They're like principals for the sadhus. They run the whole group of monks.
Yes, to monitor sadhus and to monitor all the monks of his group. Acharya is a leader, he's like a principal. He has to look over the teachers as well as the students, right? So, Acharyas monitor the sadhus, okay? What do Upadhyayas do? They teach the sadhus. And what do sadhus do? They just practice the path of liberation, following the instructions of Acharyas and taking the preachings from the Upadhyayas, right? Now, if you disrespect Ramukar Mantra, don't you respect Acharyas? Don't you respect Upadhyayas? Don't you respect sadhus? Don't you disrespect them? You do or not?
I didn't get the question. Could you repeat it?
I'm asking, if you disrespect Ramukar Mantra, if you make the fun of Ramukar Mantra, don't you make the fun of Acharyas, Upadhyayas, Sadhus, Arhantas and Siddhas? You make, right? Hello, you got the question?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
So, I think no, because they aren't at the topmost position. They haven't got complete happiness yet. But yet we still learn from them.
Yeah, we learn from them, and we should not make the fun of those great bodies, right? We should not make the fun of Acharyas, Arhantas, Upadhyayas, Sadhus, Siddhas, right? We should not make fun, right? Okay. Now, if you disrespect Ramukar Mantra, you make fun of all these great souls. And that's why you make the fun of the Jainism, Jain religion. And this attracts the many bad karmic bondages which gets bonded to your soul. And thereby you get the very, very, very ill kind of karmas and ill kind of outcomes to the situations. So you should never disrespect Ramukar Mantra, because it really gives you very ill results, because Ramukar Mantra bows down, and therefore it is the greatest mantra. We have learned that it is a Maha Mantra, Ramukar Mantra. Right?
Yes.
So if you disrespect Namoka, yes?
Jai Jinendra Anubhavji, Sachin, Diya is back.
Jai Jinendra. Okay, fine. Diya, Jai Jinendra. Okay, me and Arjun are working on a story which is relating to Ramukar Mantra. Okay, Arjun, can you tell Diya the story so far? Can you ask her?
So you want a quick synopsis?
Hello?
Yes?
Can you tell Diya the stories we have learned so far?
So, should I give her a synopsis?
Yes, just tell her whatever you remember of the story. Starting from the very beginning, you have to tell her a story.
Okay. So,
okay, Diya, listen to Arjun. Listen to Arjun, okay?
Okay.
You can hear him, right?
Yes.
Okay, Arjun, start.
There's a chef called Shabam. There's a king called Shabam, and he is a Chakravarti, and a Chakravarti is someone who rules all. He rules all the kings and all of the people who the kings rule. And so one day he's in his palace, and a chef brings him keel. And so it's very hot, but the king doesn't know that. And so the king starts gobbling it up since he's very hungry. And it burns his tongue. So he gets very, 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 very mad at the chef. So he tastes the plate of keys and throws it onto the chef's head. And the chef dies on the spot. So then the chef's soul goes to, becomes Venter Dave, which is the topmost.
Hello, Archer?
Yes.
Okay. Continue, continue.
Okay. And so then the chef learns how he dies. And so then the chef gets very, very angry and he plots his revenge. So he transforms into a fruit seller and he makes these supernatural apples that are very beautiful, very juicy, very tasty. And he goes to the market and he sells them. So after a while, the king gets to know about them. And so the king orders the fruit seller slash king slash chef, but the king doesn't know he's the chef, to come to the palace. And the king asks for one of the fruit seller's apples. The fruit seller gives him an apple, and the king takes a bite out of it, and he loves it. So he gobbles up all of the fruit, all the fruits that the fruit seller has. And then another day, he orders the fruit seller back and asks, I want more fruit. Those are very good fruits. And the fruit seller answers by saying, I'm sorry, but I don't have any more. I would have to go back to my garden and get more. And my garden's in a very far place. So you could come here, you could come there, and have a palace where you could eat the apples all the time. So his garden is on the other side of the ocean. So they're going. Halfway there, the fruit seller turns back into Dave, and the king is astounded. He says, how'd you turn into that? And so the fruit seller slash the chef, starts making winds blow, hurricanes, tidal waves, and that's as far as we have got. And tries to, basically what he's doing is he's trying to kill him.
Okay, fine. Very good, Arjun. Do you got some story? The idea of it? Hello, Dia.
Yes.
Something?
Yes.
You got? Okay, fine. I'll brief you again. See, there was a king, the Chakravarti. Chakravarti is a king of all, the universal king. The king of all the kings and all the human beings. He's known as Chakravarti, okay? His name was Shubham Chakravarti. What does his name was, Zia? What was his name? Shubham Chakravarti. What was his name?
Shubham Chakravarti.
Shubham Chakravarti, okay. Now, one day, there was in the menu of his lunch, the khir was there in his menu. Chef made khir for him. Khir is the Indian sweet dish. If you know and if you have ever tasted, it's made up of milk and rice, okay. So, the chef made khir for the Chakravarti. The moment the khir came onto his table, he started eating the khir, and khir was too hot. So the Chakravarti, he ate the hot khir, and that was very hot. He got very angry, and that hot kheer, he poured all the kheer onto the head of the chef, and the chef died on the moment. On the spot, the chef died. Why did chef die, Dia? Huh? How did he die?
He put hot kheer on the...
Yes, okay. Who put the kilns wood? Whose mistake was that? Huh? Kilns mistake was that to eat the hot kheer, right? And who got suffered? The chef has to die for his mistake, okay? Now, what happens? The chef, after dying, he becomes Vyantardev. What do he becomes? Vyantardev, a celestial body he becomes. So the chef is now Vyantardev. And then the moment he becomes Vyantardev, he remembers that how did he die. And the moment he comes to know that the king killed him, he gets very angry and thinks to take the revenge. Okay? You getting Dia? Any doubt? Okay, fine. So now the chef, I mean Vyantardev, is on his way to take the revenge from the king. He makes himself a fruit seller, okay? And makes with his supernatural power, he makes some of the best fruits of the world, very juicy, very tasty, and he takes it to the kingdom of the king, and he takes and sells it in the kingdom. The king comes to know about the fruit seller's fruit, and he calls him on his palace. So the fruit seller goes into his palace and offers some fruits to king. The king really gets very, very, very happy after eating those fruits, and he gets addicted to those fruits. He wants more fruits. So he orders the fruit seller that, "I want more fruit, give me some more fruits." So the fruit seller says, "All my fruits have gone, they all are over now, I have no fruits with me. So if you really want, why don't you come with me on my gardens? You can have all the fruits which are there, and you can make your palace right there, and then you can have fruits all the time, whenever you want them." So the king agrees. He's very addicted to those fruits. Those are very tasty. So he agrees to come with the fruit seller, and they both are now on the ship in between the ocean. They are going where, Dia? The king and the fruit seller, where are they going? Huh?
Fruit seller farm.
Why they are going there? Because the king really wants the fruits, because he found them very, very, very tasty. Okay? Now when they reach in the middle of the ocean, so the fruit seller comes into his original form, which is of a Vyantardev. So now kings get shocked. I mean, what happened now? Whom is he looking at? So the Vyantardev explained the whole story, that how did he become Vyantardev, and how did the king kill him very rudely and very cruelly. So now he said that, "I'll kill you now." Now what happened? The Chakravartis are really great and really brave and really powerful, and no one can harm them unless they disrespect the religion. So he tried a lot. Vyantardev tried a lot to kill Chakravarti. He put the thundering, very heavy rains, hurricanes, and all those things. The ship was like half broken and was about to sink in the ocean, into the ocean. Now that the king, that the Vyantardev wasn't able to harm the king as such. So now he applied the trick. What did he say to the king? "See, king, Arjuna, listen, what does now the Vyantardev do to kill the Chakravarti? What he says to the king, "See, king, I'll leave you alive if you work on my condition. If you accept my condition, my rules, I'll just leave you, Okay, so king says, okay, king was very, very, very much afraid of the Vantar Dev, and he said, okay, say me, tell me anything to do, I'll do that, but leave me alive. So the Vantar Dev orders the king that you write Ramukar Mantra onto the water, on the water, with your legs, with your foot. You write what? Ramukar Mantra in the water. And just cross it. I mean, when you'll write it completely, then just cross it with your leg only. I mean, just in the copy you write something, A, B, C, D, E, okay? And now, if you don't like it, it is not in a good writing, so you just cross it and write it again, right? So same thing you have to do. What you have to do, you have to write Ramukar Mantra with your foot onto the water, on the water, and then what you have to do, you have to just cross it. So this way, what are you doing? What will he do? Arjun, writing Namukar Mantra with his foot and then cross it back, I mean, what is the significance of doing that? Why the Vantar Dev wants him to do that? Any clue?
Because the Chakravarti might make fun of the Namukar Mantra and then
Diya, you have any other idea why the Vantar Dev is telling Chakravarti to do this? Diya, he wants to kill the king, but he is saying that he'll leave the king alive if he follows his instruction. So is he killing or is he giving the king a chance? What is he doing?
He is telling lies.
How do you know? Okay. So now King was very afraid, and he blindly just said, "Okay, I'll do that." And what did he started to do? What did he start to do? He started writing Namukar Mantra with his foot, and then once he was done with the writing, he just crossed it with his foot, and the moment he did that, without anything, the ship sunk into the water directly, and the king went to the deepest of the narak, the worst narak, the biggest narak, which is known, the satva narak, seventh narak. There are seven naraks, okay? When you do very bad things, you go to narak, and there are seven naraks, okay? So the king went to the worst narak. The moment he did that cross thing after writing Namukar Mantra, the moment he did that, his ship sunk and he died on the moment he went where? He went to the seventh narak. Where did he went? Where did he go?
Seventh
Arjun?
Narak.
When did he go to seventh narak, Diya? When did he go?
When he write Namukar Mantra with his legs.
And then did what after writing?
Walking.
What? After writing, what did he do? He just crossed the Namukar Mantra, whatever he has written. And then the Vantar Dev was very happy that he took the revenge and the king was dead. Okay. Now, what do we learn from this story? Will anybody tell me? Will tell
do
me?
Do not make fun of the Namukar Mantra.
Why?
Because the gods will make you go to hell.
God will make you to the hell?
Yes.
Oh, Diya, what do we learn from this story?
Make fun of Namukar Mantra.
Otherwise, if you make, what will happen?
We'll go to Narak,
like Shubham Chakravarti, right? See, Arjun, five Parvishtis, what do they do? They give us the punishments like you have to go in Narak, you have to go to the swag, you have to be human being, you have to be rat, you have to be dog, you have to be that. Arantas do this thing. Siddhas from the Siddhishila manages all these things.
No.
Yes or no? They don't
no.
do that. We read all the characteristics of five parmeshti. What do they do, right? Did we learn anything like Arantas have to decide who will go where, Arjuna will go to Swarga, or somebody, Arjuna's friend will go to Narak, or something like that? Anybody do that?
No.
No, okay. And you said God will make us into the Narak, they will send us to Narak. Then what are the, who gods are they? I mean, which god are you talking about?
I said wrong. No one tells you to hell. You go to hell.
Yes. Very good. See, there are karmic bondages. If you do wrong, automatically the karmic bondages get attached to you and you go to, you get what you do automatically. This is the simple nature of the things, nature of this world. I mean, the things respond to you the way you respond to the things. Simple. In Jain philosophy, there is a karmic concept. For everything you do, there is a karmic bondage, and we have to get happiness. We want to get happiness, right? And to get happiness, what we have to do, we have to get out or get rid of all these karmic bondages. And that's why we are following the path of those who have got rid of these karmic bondages. Siddhas have no karmic bondage, right? So that's why nobody like Arahanta, Siddhas, Acharyas, nobody tell us to go to hell or go to Swarg or go to anywhere. No. The karmic bondages attached to us, bonded with us, they all directs where we are going according to our dates, okay? So there is nothing like God will punish us. Shubham Chakravarti went to the Narak not because of the order of the God, no. He went because he insulted the Tamokar Mantra. He disrespected the Tamokar Mantra and thereby he disrespected all the five Parmeshti and thereby he got a very, very, very cruel and rude karmic bondages and he went to the seventh Narak. Okay, fine. So we should never make fun of Tamokar Mantra and we should never, never make fun of any of the Parmeshtis. No Parmeshti. We should not make fun of any of the Parmeshti. Right?
Right.
Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay, so you remember this story? How was it? Arjun?
Yes?
How was the story?
It was a good story. It makes you learn.
Okay, it makes you want. Yeah, very good. Okay, fine. So, this way we learn how important and great the Tamokar Mantra is, and if you disrespect it, it can really create some very, very, very hazardous troubles to you because it's very, very holy mantra and it's really very greatest mantra as it is going down to greatest souls. So we should never, never make the fun of it in our life, okay? By this, our time gets over. So we in Tamokar Mantra, we have learned Tamokar Mantra, Parmeshtis, Dev and Guru, the bifurcation. What do Parmeshtis do? How are they? And now, when Tamokar Mantra's story. Okay, we have learned so much. You all are really, really, really very intelligent. Thanks to you. And we'll conclude today's session. Dia, are you going to wait for a while, please? Will you please tell me Tamokar Mantra and we'll conclude. Arjuna started with Tamokar Mantra. Dia will end with Tamokar Mantra. Okay? Okay, fine. While Dia will speak Tamokar Mantra, we have to join our hands, put the hands and close our eyes. Okay? That's the way we read Tamokar Mantra. Okay? Arjun, you got me? Join your hands and close your eyes. And then you can also speak with Dia. Okay? Okay, Dia, join your hands, close your eyes and start. I am also joining my hands and closing my eyes, okay? Okay, start.
Namo Siddhanam, Namo Aryanam, Namo Uvajayanam,
नमो लोवेश वसाउनम ईशोक्तं जनमोकारो सर्व पावपनासरो मंगलानं च सर्वेषं परमं हवये मंगलम्।
Very good, Dia. Very good, Arjun. And thanks for learning all this. And we'll conclude. Jai Jinendra to all.
Jai Jinendra, thank you very much.
Jai Jinendra, thanks, Arjun. Thanks, Dia. Thanks, Anubhav Ji.
Jai Jinendra.
For conducting the session today. We'll meet up next week then.
Okay, fine. Take care.
Jai Jinendra, thanks.
Jai Jinendra.
Thank you.